Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Big comeback by the Miami Heat last night. They evened the series 1-1 in the NBA Finals. They out-hustled the Nuggets. They fought off a Fury at the end of the game. Jamal Murray almost tied it and sent it to overtime in the final seconds. But Heat culture wins out. Heat desperation, quite frankly.
Culture or three-point shooting?
Yeah, that a little bit of that, too. And maybe taking advantage of some mental lapses from the Nuggets role players. You know, the idea that you can just force Nikola Jokic to just be a scorer, get into the passing lanes. He only had four assists last night and more turnovers than assists, which is very rare for Jokic. And that's kind of what teams try to do. Like, if you look at his playoff box scores, the times when he scores 41 like he did last night, or 53 like he did in game four against Phoenix, or, you know, game four against Minnesota where he had 43, those are losses by the Nuggets. Now, Spoelstra bristled a bit at the idea that if you just turn Jokic into a scorer, then you're going to be okay.
This is probably oversimplifying things, but sometimes when teams play against Jokic, you turn him into a scorer, you turn him into a passer, and he controls the game. He only had four assists tonight.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You know, it's just, that's the untrained eye that says something like that.
Well, I mean, it's also Jeff Van Gundy. It's also ex-players who tell us that to try to make him one-dimensional or two-dimensional, I guess, because he can pass and he can still, you know, rebound, I guess. But
by the way, his passing was actually not bad at all last night.
Just guys, still pretty good.
Yeah, guys were missing the shots after, you know, you got to hit the three-pointer. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, last night, that kind of joker who could just throw up anything and goes in, it seems like you could win a lot of games with that 41-point-a-game joker. I don't know. I understand the idea that what happens is I think everybody sits around and they're afraid to shoot. He's like, why am I going to take a shot when this guy cannot miss a shot? He's unstoppable from three-point range anywhere. So I think they lose their confidence when he plays that well. But you know what, though? This idea of Joker just passing around and Bruce Brown of the world to beat the Heat, I don't know if I buy that either.
No, obviously they need him to score a lot, but it's just the idea that, you know, Jokic always makes the right basketball move, right? That's right. The thing on him. That's why he's the genius. That's why he's the best player to ever play. That's why he makes his teammates better, all that stuff, because he always makes the right play. So if you are basically giving him, you know, scoring opportunities, he's always going to take it. It's like he can't go against what the defense is giving him, because it's like he's not wired that way.
There was some funny plays last night where I felt like they were laying off Joker in a big way.
Yeah.
Like, basically, he would set a pick and both guys would follow the guy with the ball in his hand and leave Joker just standing there. And it's almost like Denver didn't know what to do because they were making it so easy for Joker.
Yeah.
So maybe there was something there where he got him out of the rhythm. And then you get switches that are ridiculous with the Heat where all of a sudden Gabe Vincent is covering Jokic. It happens all the time, and these big guys, I'm 6'4", and I played a lot of basketball. When a 5'10 guy gets on me, I have no idea what to do. I think Joker is sometimes fooled by these odd matchups that the Heat throw at him.
Well, the question for you is, do you know what to do when another 6'4 guy's on you?
The best. I love having a tall guy cover me is the greatest. You know, like Steph Curry, when somebody tall checks in him, that's the only person that you're faster than. So you like having taller guys because they're slow. The key to defense is speed. And Joker, I think, loves having like DeAndre Ayton. He can do whatever he wants to him. I think this small team is confusing him a little bit.
So that's what's going on in the NBA with the series knotted up at 1. Game 3 is Wednesday? Yes, Wednesday in Miami. Okay, another big story is coming to us from the NFL, and the details on this are still trickling out. And unfortunately, Perloff, this is one that has become a bit more common. And it's players gambling. So right now, this is according to sportshandle.com that the NFL is investigating pervasive wagering by a member of the Indianapolis Colts. Now, they're not saying which player it was, only to say that that if you are an ardent NFL fan, is how they put it, then you will know who this player is, and the player has not been cut. So that leads me to believe, Perloff, that either they can't cut him during the investigation or this player is good enough that they don't want to cut him. Like when Jameson Williams of the Detroit Lions got caught for gambling, there was no chance the Lions were going to cut him, and he's now going to be suspended for 6 games. Now, there's a little bit of a difference, at least with the details we have now. Jameson Williams basically said, I had no idea what the policy was. And he got dinged because he was placing bets online from the facility on college football, right? That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
This person apparently tried to go a little bit further in covering their tracks. It wasn't from their own betting account. It was from an account set up by an acquaintance, according to these details. And it was hundreds of bets and including bets on his own team.
Right. Did they say if it's for his team to win or for his team to lose? Because I think that's a big distinction. It's kind of the Pete Rose thing.
Yeah.
Where if he bet against his own team, then that implies that he was throwing the game to some degree.
I know, but the problem is even if you bet on your own team to win, I know it's maybe not as bad. It's still bad, though, because you have inside information on, hey, are we listing this guy as questionable, but he's been feeling great all week or whatever.
I hear you, but if you bet $10,000 on your team to lose, you're going to miss a block at the end of the game.
Right.
So
I mean, as much as one person can, you know, influence an NFL game, right?
Right, which is, of course, the NFL's worst nightmare, which is why they're coming down so hard on these guys, because it reminds me of boxing at a certain point. Once people start to think it's not completely straight up, the sport will really be in trouble. Now, I think it's very complicated for a couple of reasons. One, because they're getting so much money from sports gambling books. So the NFL, on one hand, is taking millions and millions of dollars from its players for using a product that they're getting millions and millions of dollars from. So the hypocrisy of that kind of hits you in the face. The other thing is, there was a great article in The Athletic today. The rules are not that simple. There's a lot of ambiguity, and a lot of people are claiming there's not that much education. Some guys are getting busted and saying, well, you should have read the handbook. What 24-year-old is reading a handbook?
Yeah.
So there seems like, first of all, I've just read, I didn't know, I know Jameson Williams was suspended for placing a bet in the team facility.
Right.
I just read that you also cannot place a bet on the team plane or in the hotel that the team is playing for either. That's considered part of the team facility.
Wait, the hotel you're
staying in? Team hotels are, officially, you cannot make a bet from there.
I bet the team plane, the team hotel, anything.
How would you know the team hotel? Like,
I mean, I think they're just trying to basically discourage this from everyone. Like, they're putting all these parameters in. Now, you might not have read the handbook, but you can always, you know, call or text your NFLPA rep or ask somebody, hey, can I bet on this, I guess.
You could,
there's,
but
like, resources out there if you really want to do this.
Players are already starting to say it's not well organized. It's not very clear to them how this all works. So, which I can understand, because the NFL is saying, hey, you can bet on anything, just not the NFL.
You know, I just want to make something clear. I guess there's some conflicting information about whether or not the person actually placed bets on the Colts. So there is a little conflicting there.
Oh, that's the thing about this story. There is some more information
to come out. But here's the thing. We can't be shocked by these stories anymore.
No.
It's happening in college, where I think it's even worse. I mean, we remember, we'd have to go back even a couple weeks. The baseball story with the coach who got fired because the Alabama baseball coach got fired because he made a phone call when his star pitcher was getting scratched 2 hours before the game.
I mean,
college, and then all the stuff that happened at Iowa and Iowa State. College, I think, is where it's going to be a lot, I don't say more pervasive, I have no idea, but, you know, where you don't have people making millions and millions of dollars. You have a lot of information floating out there, and the NCAA has a policy that you cannot bet on any sport that has an NCAA championship. So you can't you can't bet on professional golf because the NCAA has a golf championship. You can't bet on gymnastics.
So wait, college players cannot bet on?
I don't think you can bet on, the way I read the story is you can't bet on any professional league that has an NCAA championship. I thought that was true. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
So you can't bet on the Masters?
I don't think so.
Well, yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. It's very, very confusing. And I think they're catching a lot of guys now because gambling is legal. So FanDuel and DraftKings gives up all the information.
Yep.
that's why, obviously, these players have probably been betting forever. I mean, since the beginning of time. But now they're getting caught, and the NFL is dinging them.
Well, in this instance, according to the early details, it was placing bets on an acquaintance's phone.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, these guys should just all go to bookies and they'd be fine. But I don't know if those bookies are still around.
Yeah, I think bookies are bookies out of business now?
No, I think there's still, I mean, there's advantages. There's no tax reporting.
Right.
If you're an NFL player, you won't be suspended for games. Because really, the NFL would have no proof on a bookie.
Yeah, but I mean, but the bookie, you're not really sure what other things are they involved with. It can be a little more shadowy. Sometimes they can be fronts for mob stuff. You know?
Totally, but it's, I mean, it's been going on for a long, long time, and there hasn't been any problems for NFL players until FanDuel and DraftKings came along. Not that I think more young people are betting too. I read a study that betting is way up for 20-somethings because it's in your phone. It's so easy, which is a lot of fun, but it's obviously a bigger risk. The other thing too about this betting thing, the real distinction to me is going to be a Tim Donaghy situation or something that we can directly prove, maybe not anything that we can directly prove affected a game. That hasn't happened yet, but odds are it probably is heading that way.
In this country, I mean, it's happened in soccer, it's happened in tennis,
it's happened
in other places.
College basketball.
Oh, right. And there's been point multiple shaving times. Scandals.
There's been multiple point shaving, and it happened with Tim Donaghy. So it's happened in the NBA, happened in college basketball, hasn't happened in the NFL yet, but I think that's really the worst nightmare. Do you think that's going to happen in our lifetime where a game is going to be thrown? It's a hard sport to throw.
It'd be a hard sport to throw. I remember once, like, oh man, how many years ago was this? It was like going back to 2017 or something. I'm sure the interview's online, but I did an interview with Warren Sapp, and I don't know how this came up in the interview with Sapp, but it was about, like, maybe it was about putting a team in Vegas, something, for some reason this was in the news. Before, obviously, the Raiders moved. And we asked him, like, what would be the one place on a football field where you would feel most concerned, like, is a guy throwing it?
Let me guess before. Yeah. I would think the quarterback.
The quarterback's making too much money. These guys, the no incentive to throw a game. No.
Wait. The center or the kicker?
You're getting a little bit closer. I'll give it to you. Special teams is one of them. Not the kicker, though. You're a little closer on the center.
The long snapper?
Yes. The long snapper is the guy you got to be worried about because he's making, like, I mean, you know, money that we would love. He's making, like, you know, $400,000 or whatever he's making, but not millions of dollars.
That is juicy. So you're saying a couple bad snaps can really affect the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, it was hard not to raise an eyebrow a little with the Cowboys kicker last year, but, like, there's no way this guy wanted to be missing those kicks. He just had the yips.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Eagles long time had the greatest long snapper of all time, John Dorenbosch, who is a professional magician who's
still a magician.
Yeah, still has a residency in Vegas. Long snappers are an interesting guy. I like that. But say, I'm curious, I don't know if you got to this, can a linebacker affect the spread? Can a cornerback, I mean, it's really, really tricky. I think
the only two would probably be like long snapper, like you said, but you got to be sure that even a game-winning field goal is, you know, actually going to be determining the outcome of the game or whatever. You go through a game and not kick a field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, lost to Robbie Gold.
Who was the Giants long snapper who lost that game against the 49ers? Was that Junkin? Who, like, you know, they were going for a game-winning field goal at the end of the game in the playoffs, and he missed the snap. Then he tried to throw the ball up in the air, and it just was a mess. Listen, long snappers have a very key part of it.
I know, but, like, you got to – how do you know it's going to come down to you?
Or how about an undrafted backup quarterback who fumbles a snap in a playoff game on a field goal attempt?
Look at you,
Tony Romo.
It's been sitting in under our noses this whole time.
I wouldn't say the quarterbacks are beyond reproach. I mean, listen, Art Schleser was a number 5 overall pick whose life was ruined by, I don't know if it's sports gambling or gambling, and a lot of other things. I mean, I think there could be situations where quarterbacks get into pickles where they owe something to somebody.
Yeah, but at this point,
what if you're a 10-point favorite and you make sure it comes within 10 points? I think they could have. You're right.
I mean, if you're Patrick Mahomes, you can give out a $500 million contract. What do you care about 10 grand, 20 grand? It's not going to be, like, first of all, you can pay to make most of your problems go away probably when you have that much money. And,
well, they're not all. I mean, you just named the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, that's true. They're not. But a lot of them make a lot of money.
I mean,
it'd be hard to get to a quarterback. I think a running back also could be susceptible.
Little fumble.
Yeah, fumble.
Yeah,
left tackle.
This is
those
tricky.
Guys are making a ton.
This is really an ugly topic, though. because it's really dangerous.
But it is ugly in terms of the addiction of gambling, for sure.
Well, I mean, ugly in the fact that I worry that it's going to ruin an NFL game. If this many players are getting busted already and we just started this, what happens if a player just meets somebody who says, throw the game?
I don't know. I'm not worried about players as much. To me, it's more of a Donaghy situation. Like referees who get themselves into a bind. But the thing is about NFL referees, there's like 8 of them. I mean, yeah, you've got the guy who, you know.
And you have such a robust replay system. Like, it's really hard for a ref.
Yeah.
Like, outside of maybe like a really obscure pass interference play call
like
late in the game or something.
Rams Saints, but like, how do you know that's going to happen again, or it's going to come down to you making the call? Again, you got like referees, you got back judges, you got the sky cam, you got back in New York, you've got all these things. Like, back when Donaghy did this, you had 3 refs.
Like, well, right. I do think,
and you can, and a ref in an NBA can call anything at any time.
You could call, you know, say you're advising people to bet the over, you'd call a lot of holding, bet the under, you'd call a lot of offensive holding or defensive holding if you want the over. You could maybe get the score up on over under.
Jay in Alabama's in the chat. Maggie Thurman Thomas, maybe. Thanks, Jay. I had to bring that up. We can never just do a segment on the show. It always has to end with somebody.
I mean, listen.
Somebody clowning my Bills.
Let's not be naive. There's probably been many football games that have been thrown. I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, it might not have all been thrown successfully, but there's probably been funny business.
You know what's interesting? I'm the number one sports conspiracy person on this show. I believe everything, frozen envelopes, all that stuff. I don't think this happens a lot.
I don't think it happens a lot.
College, maybe.
But do you think it's happened? Do you think that NFL games have been thrown?
I think it'd be impossible to do that. One person, unless you're talking about a real conspiracy where like the referee and the star quarterback are in cahoots or something. I don't think so. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So we'll keep an eye on this emerging story, scandal, whatever. We'll see if we find out who the person is.
Yeah, and how good and how important a player is. Are we talking about downgrading the Colts' chances? Although there was video this weekend. Did anyone see Anthony Richardson playing basketball?
I did. Was that this weekend, or was that just an old clip?
It made the round. It went viral this weekend.
Yeah, I was like, should he be playing for the Heat?
He looks
so good.
I'm such a sucker for a quarterback who's great at basketball immediately. Although,
don't want him playing during the season, though.
I know, but Drew Locke apparently is an incredible basketball player, and I'm not as much into him.
Okay. I'm worried about like an Aaron Boone situation, you know, or any professional athlete playing not their sport, blowing out their ACL.
Right. But I tend to judge quarterbacks by their general athleticism, though. So if you're a really great golfer, you're probably going to be good at quarterback. It's how it works.
Is that true? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Okay, got a lot more to get to, including one thing we have not talked about yet when it comes to the NBA Finals. Also, one major star could be looking at time on the IL. For what, pray tell? We'll explain it. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Okay, so we have this incomplete story on a Colts betting scandal. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Somebody on the Colts reportedly was placing bets through a friend. Now,
pervasive betting.
Now, did you see anything on the exact timing of when the bets were placed?
Like in the facility or out of the facility?
No, like when, what year was this, et cetera? Because there's some rumors circulating around the studio, the CBS Sports Radio studio. It was 2 years ago, and it was a certain redheaded quarterback who might have placed these bets.
Oh, no.
So
Zach Gallup comes on after us and saying, if Carson Wentz plays the bets, that means you have to get rid of the Carson Wentz poster in the studio.
Listen, we're already getting rid of the poster.
I mean, can things go worse for Carson Wentz? Now he's being linked to this betting scandal?
I mean, the last game of the year against the Jaguars for the playoffs on the line was very, very fishy.
Honestly,
very
fishy. Who sprains two ankles in one game? That's just made up. You know, I was thinking, too, the way they describe this Colts player is that a quote, ardent NFL fan would know who they are. It's like an ardent NFL fan would hate this person. They said that. An ardent NFL fan would not like this person.
This is getting a little too mean to Carson Wentz. There's no linking Carson Wentz to the gambling show. We're just joking because everybody here wants to get rid of this awesome Carson Wentz poster.
And by the way, kudos to Zach Gill because he and Ryan are really doing their part here to try to get us to 1,000 new subscribers. So I appreciate their efforts here because now Perloff is trying to come in. He's trying to block it. He wants a Carson's corner. That was not the arrangement. The arrangement was 1,000 new YouTube subscribers by the end of the finals, which maybe we bought ourselves an extra day or two. And we destroy the Carson Wentz poster live on the show.
Yeah, if it doesn't hit 1,000, then Carson's corner is going to take over half the studio. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a shrine to Carson Wentz. He's going to go back to his Bismarck, North Dakota days, or South Dakota, I don't know, wherever Bismarck is. It is just going to be all things Carson Wentz.
You know what's going to happen? This studio, if Carson's corner, if we don't hit the mark, and if we fail in this endeavor, or I'll take it on myself, if I personally fail in this, because I'm putting that on me, and you get Carson's corner, what's going to happen is we're going to have to do one of those things, like how kids who share a room, like make a line down the middle of the room where you have to stay on your side and I have to stay on my side, because the sight of a Carson's corner is going to be so sickening to me. I'm not, and just a constant reminder of my failures. I've already got a Bills corner to remind me of failures.
I don't know how you're going to not go into the Carson's corner side. The door is on that side of the studio.
I'll make a new door. I'll crawl my way over to WFAN and crawl out of here Shawshank Redemption style.
I will say this, speaking of Zach Gelb, you may notice that there might be some bumps and bruises on Mr. Wentz.
Yeah,
Zach placed him on the floor. There were people walking on him.
Wow.
He tossed him across the room.
It was a placemat, a format. Doormat. Yeah.
I mean, he's still intact, but, you know, just a little worse for the wear.
Yeah, I noticed when I put it up, it was a little different.
All right. Well, you know, it's like prepping him for the ultimate demise. But need your help. YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Hit subscribe, please.
I apologize. The capital of South Dakota is Pierre, former cult Pierre Garçon. So there's definitely a Colts tie in there as well.
That's the connection, that's for sure.
Pierre Garçon was a week 14 pickup for me in 2012 and killed it. So I just wanted to give a little shout out to Pierre, who is not part of this Colts allegations scandal.
No, they said most of the wagering occurred during the 2022 season, but it did extend it into 2023. So it is not Carson Wentz.
It is not Carson Wentz. Carson is safe.
He's safe for now.
Until we get to 1,000 YouTube subscribers.
And nobody's safe. But really just Carson. We're serious about that, by the way. YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio. If you would hit subscribe, we'll get one step closer. Yeah, listen, this story is pretty crazy. We got to ask the pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes from Santiago, who is in Westchester, who asked about Perloff's basketball tournament.
Uh-oh.
Don't forget, you can submit a question by tweeting at CBS Sports Radio or at Maggie and Pearl using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I just have to ask quickly, Samter, was this new copy from you? Samter, did you write this new copy?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Did you write the new copy on the O'Reilly Auto Parts?
I didn't write it. I just updated it.
Okay. It's the wrong Twitter handle. So if it was you, I was going to make fun of you. Our Twitter handle is at Maggie and Pearl.
My apologies. No, that I added. I just...
There's the social media director. Okay, we're stalling to get to Pearl off. I just thought that was funny.
So...
what happened? How'd it go?
I arrived at the scene. It is 25-mile-an-hour win for an outdoor tournament. And I am surefire three-point shooter. This is bad news. And it's double rims. I've played at this court before. I never liked it. I hated it on Saturday. It's a 4-on-4 tournament to raise money for a local park in Long Island City, Queens. And the tournament, the players weren't that great, but they all seemed to know the court really well. So we had a good team. we basically had three college level players and me. It's a 4-on-4 tournament. And we were going, so we got killed. We almost won our first game. We probably should have won more, but we're all outside shooters, so the wind destroyed us.
Oh, man.
But there was one team that won it last year that was totally stacked. I swear to God, Nick Claxton was on this team. I couldn't believe
it.
There was a guy who had to be 7 feet tall. He was dunking on everybody, and I would have had to cover him. But luckily, they were losing a game to an inferior team, and the leader of the team was a bit of a hothead, got in a huge fight with the ref. There were refs there.
Oh, wow.
And we thought it was going to be a white man can't jump where were going to start coming onto the court with guns. So everybody sort of scattered for a little bit. We came back, but that team was disqualified.
Wow, you really kind of casually described what could have been a pretty awful situation.
Yeah, we
all scattered around a little bit, got a little popcorn, back. Yeah, got a Gatorade.
Yeah, we moved from one side of the court where there was no exit to another side where there was an easy exit. We all made our escape plans. But it just got really heated. Like, people were not calming down. Basketball fights are usually much ado about nothing.
Yeah, it's a pushing and shoving. Hold me back.
This one was really intense, but it helped because that team that won the whole tournament last year got kicked out, and they would have destroyed us.
Got kicked out.
Well,
or the team or whatever.
You know what? He wasn't totally at fault. Both sides were real. It got really heated. That's the thing. You add an official to any environment, and all of a sudden, everybody is just pushes it up to 11. Everybody was fighting with everybody. Everyone was fighting with the officials. Jeez. And it was not my scene at all. And I played terrible. So I took a jump shot to start the game. And I swear, a gust of wind, like a tornado gust of wind, took the ball. I lost all my confidence. So I decided to mid-game shift. I'm like, I'm taking it inside. I'm going to dust off my inside.
Look at you, Duncan Robinson, from last night.
I'm going to dust off my Mike and Drills. I'm going to take the ball inside. And man, do I not have the athleticism for that. I come down, I beat my guy, I get to the hole. A guy swats my shot to the third row. It was terrible. I was awful. I hurt the team.
Wait, did you bring your family here to witness all this?
No. I knew it was not going to be good.
Yeah.
So we lost all three games.
You know, it's funny because I didn't see any like wind advisories or anything.
I did.
Oh.
You didn't look.
I didn't notice it was very windy on Saturday.
There were legit wind advisories. It was going 25 miles an hour.
I'm not calling you a liar. I'm just saying.
Is there a place on the internet where you can look up wind history?
Past weather.
That'd be the saddest website of all time.
Wind advisory.
What happened 2 days ago? Why would anyone need that information?
Oh, boy. All right. No, I'm not finding anything.
Nobody has the past weather.
You're saying I'm making up wind as an excuse for playing terribly?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm implying it. No, I'm not. I'm sorry that the conditions weren't better. That sucks.
Yeah, it was.
You usually play indoors, no?
Yeah, if it was indoors, we still would have lost, but at least I would have played better.
Oh. And that's all that counts.
That's all that counts at the end of the day. My stat line was like 2 for 9, 8 rebounds, 3 assists over a course of 3 games.
Hopefully,
not good.
Hopefully this goes better than the NBA in-season tournament, because Adam Silver was on NBA TV and he was describing what the tournament's going to be like, and I don't think Barkley really understood.
I think the notion there, it's like taking a page from international soccer, where they have other things to compete for, not just, in our case, the Larry O'Brien trophy. So we're actually taking, for the most part, a series of games, regular season games, and we're designating those as tournament games. Those games will count both for the regular season and for this in-season tournament. And then the four teams that are still standing will come together, and we'll go to a neutral site, okay, and then they'll play for a separate trophy.
Yeah, so it's, you got all that? It's regular season games that also count as tournament games. And then the four teams that have the best records will go to a neutral site, Vegas, and will play a tournament, I guess. A Final Four.
I still don't get it. I'm still not. I understand the logistics of it. Yeah. I still don't understand
why they're doing this.
I understand why they're doing this, but I don't understand why teams are going to care or why fans are going to care.
They asked about that. Barkley said, hey, we're already living in like a load management era. Nobody wants to play. Why will this work?
It'll be a new tradition. It'll probably take a little bit while to get it going, but it's a long season to play for one championship at the end, and it's not going to replace the Larry O'Brien Trophy, but it's our hope that, just like in college, there's a lot of, you know, there's a Thanksgiving tournament or a holiday tournament, and guys who play in those tournaments, they care about winning. It's not a replacement for the NCAA tournament, but it's to give a little bit more, something more special, a little bit more incentive.
Yeah, I mean, I get it more from the soccer standpoint. When you start saying it's going to be like college basketball, does anyone... Those guys want to win those holiday tournaments, so just because it goes with their record, it's not because anyone wants to win the holiday tournament, is it?
No, I don't think so at all.
I think he was just trying to make a different, because he kept talking about soccer throughout the interview.
This is a better analogy.
Just a different analogy for our audience. But he also mentioned to Barkley later on, as Barkley was still like, I don't get it. Why would good teams care about this? He said there's also going to be a significant financial windfall for the teams that win. So I think at the end of the day, like, again, if you're the Nuggets and you have the one seed, maybe your motivation is a little bit less than if you're the Pistons and you're terrible or whatever.
See,
it is.
See, I don't think it's for the good teams. I think it's for the up and coming teams because they are less likely to load manage, although in this day and age, who knows? And then the other part is, I mean, honestly, we just went through Kyrie Irving has made $275 million just in basketball. What is going to be the amazing financial incentive for him, for LeBron, for Jokic, for anyone who signed a Supermax? There's no incentive. So it's for the other guys on the team or for the up-and-coming teams.
Which is kind of weird. I mean, so you're saying basically there's going to be a series of games where players 3 through 10 are trying really hard, but players 1 and 2 don't care. And I don't know. It's just odd. How does it work? So soccer, I find soccer confusing. I'm not going to lie to you. That there's Champions League, there's World Cup, there's Premier League, there's all sorts of things. None of these things water down the other things? Or they're all equally ultimately important?
Part of it for soccer, there is a little bit of a difference because most of the main leagues in Spain, in England, they don't have playoffs, right? So whoever wins the regular season wins the championship. But things like the Champions League, the Europa Cup, the FA Cup, like this weekend, Man City is on the verge of winning what they call the treble. Right, the Premier League Championship, the FA Cup, and the Champions League. They're in the finals. The only other team that's ever done it is Manchester United, like almost 20 years ago, 15 years ago. So it's historic. So winning
like
the Champions
crown,
League.
Crown, if you will.
Yes, it's called the treble, they call it. It's historic. And so the Champions League, winning that is almost as important as winning the Premier League, almost as important as winning La Liga or the Bundesliga. And the FA Cup, it might not be as important as the Champions League, but it's still very important. And so like Adam Silver said in the cut, it's going to take a while for this midseason tournament trophy to become prestigious, but eventually teams will be like, oh, we won it 3 years in a row. We're the best midseason tournament team ever or whatever. It's going to
eventually. You against nobody, so congrats.
Right, so like the first year of the Champions League may not have meant what it means now.
So I think here's the biggest thing this boils down to. Should we be covering this as a topic? Samter thought maybe we should talk about, what is it, Man United? Man City.
Man City.
Man City. Man City is on the cusp of this thing. Should we take a show vote or should we put it to the weedos? How do we do this? Does anyone want us to talk about what's going on in Europe on Saturday? Emmanuel, yes or no?
No.
Solid. Perloff, yes or no?
Oh, man. I don't want to be that dorky old guy who says no to soccer. I say yes.
All right.
I vote also no. Samter and Stu, I know what you guys are going to say.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes and yes.
And so here's my thing, though. I'm not just a blanket yes. I'm a yes because right now it's the NBA Finals. Most likely by Thursday, Friday, the series might be mostly done.
But there's only one more game.
There's a game on Wednesday.
Oh, okay. So there you go. So
next game is Wednesday, yeah.
That's so crazy. I'm sorry. The schedule, producer.
It just feels like there should be more than one game a week. It's just absolutely. But that's part of it, right? There's going to be one game this week that we're going to have time to react to.
You don't think
what else are we going to talk about? We're talking about baseball in June?
Have we ever had trouble coming up with something to talk about?
Right, but we're not going to have trouble finding things to talk about, but this is something that is important. Now, if it was the middle of the football, to the world.
The world in this studio? I don't know about the world in this studio.
Well, listen.
You narrowly won a 3-2 vote in this
studio. Now that we're on YouTube, I mean, we're global, all right? We're not just, you know, put into CBS Sports Network and CBS Sports Radio here domestically.
No, we're on in Canada.
Yes, but we're global now. We can be found anywhere. Are you telling me that people in Manchester, England, are not watching us right now? Come on. Of course they are.
Are we the official Manchester, England show?
So, I don't know, though. I'm getting some soccer snob vibes.
Yeah, kind of. I am, too.
Because also, I get very, very sensitive about Man City, Manchester United. How do I refer to those two teams? Because if you refer to them the wrong way, you sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, how do you say the two teams?
What, United and City?
Yeah, United and City. What if I said Man U, would I sound like a dork?
No, I think that's fine.
No, it's like Arizona and Arizona State. It's just two different programs from the same area.
Dave, you can call them different things, and it's not just one name.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard way different things from my soccer friends. If you refer to Manchester United the wrong way, you sound like a total bloke.
Do you understand? I once almost got bullied off the internet because I said Lionel Messi.
Ooh.
I know. Thank you, Stu, for that proper response because I got booed basically by thousands of people. I almost deleted my account.
What? And get out of here.
I swear.
Your Twitter account?
It
Do you
was
have thousands
terrible.
Of Messi fans?
It, because someone else who's really in the soccer world retweeted our video.
Oh.
And so it was Grant Wall, may he rest in peace. And so it came out on this hardcore soccer feed. And then all of a sudden, I basically almost had to like go into hiding. I just made a mistake. Right. And also, I have an upstate New York accent. Doesn't really go with Argentina sometimes.
What'd you call it?
Lionel Messi, and it's Lionel.
It is?
Exactly. All right, I think we got our votes there. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We didn't mention it. Superstar could be heading to the IL. We'll tell you why, what happened, all of it. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio right after this CBS Sports Update with Emmanuel Barbari. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Deciding whether or not we're going to talk about soccer in the near future, I'm told by our pal Nick in Texas in the chat, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, if you want to watch the show, that we are indeed a global show. We got Rodney Duncan lives in Japan and he listens. He tells Nick all the time. What time is it over there? So we get on the Google for that as I get to the shot of the day. Let's do it.
He shoots!
And the shot of the day is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos is brought to you by those who drink it. I'm told it's 6:48 in the morning in Japan. All right, the Casamigos shot of the day. Hi, Rodney. Comes from earlier in the show. The show bet tied in with the NBA Finals. Perloff has already managed to lose. Now, he might not be the only loser, but he so far has lost because it was not a sweep for either the Nuggets or the Heat. He picked four games, or he was kind of left with four games. Has four games. It's not going to be a sweep. So that means he's got to eat the world's spiciest chicken nugget.
So if I go to a restaurant, I can order something dangerous enough to blind me?
You might.
This is insane.
Perloff, you knew what you were signing up for.
No. I don't see people walking around like, oh, yeah, my brother-in-law died from a ghost pepper.
No, this has never happened. Grief.
People are also telling me, by the way, that after you eat these wings, be very careful if you go to the restroom. For men to go to the bathroom, you have to use your hands. That can be a very uncomfortable situation.
Have you
bad
seen
enough
the
for my
out?
Throat to swell up. I don't want anything down there swelling up. Not for this.
Maybe you do. I don't know.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you what. If we talk about something that happens in the bathroom for 30 seconds on this show, Samter will make it the shot of the day.
Absolutely.
That was 20 seconds of 3 hours of radio. And of course, that's the show of the day. Yes, Samter, you are nothing but consistent. We love you for it. You have an update, Perloff.
Yes, so we have a new player in this game. Somebody with 1 million Twitter followers who wants to give us some advice on how to do it.
Wow, Dan Patrick?
No. Buffalo Wild Wings just tweeted at me, may we suggest a blazing challenge with our new knockout sauce?
Oh, no.
So I just looked it up.
It's getting real. You're right.
I just looked up. That sounds fun. Blazing challenge. So I Googled it, and it's a 5-page long legal form to even do this.
Oh, gosh.
And in all caps, all it says, each participant will be required to execute a release, hold harmless and indemnity agreement prior to participation in the challenge. So apparently, we're signing over our life rights here to take this spicy knockout challenge. But BW3 wants to get involved And I'm down. I mean, at least they're a big company. They wouldn't kill people with their spices, would they?
I don't know. Every time we do something, I always imagine the New York Post headline is like, idiot radio host, da-da-da-da. I don't know why they're calling us that, but that's always what they would call us.
I know. I don't want somebody to some outsider to bring in a pepper, be like, oh, this is no big deal. Then it turns out to be a Carolina Reaper.
No,
and I'm in the emergency room.
We're not
room.
Going to Marinick's Garden to get this. It's got to be something that's been approved by the FDA.
By the way, Carolina Reaper would have been a great nickname for Julius Peppers.
I was thinking about that.
Julius Peppers,
well,
the Carolina Reaper.
Well, I thought maybe Luke Kuechly could have been.
But Julius Peppers, I just thought of, oh my God, this is too little right too late. There. Well, actually, did they? They have some good players. Anyway, regardless.
No, Julius Peppers is up for the College Football Hall of Fame. Did you see they put out the ballots for that? Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Vick.
Wasn't Julius Peppers a better basketball player than football player in college? But whatever. Anyway.
He's up for the College Football.
Yeah, I mean, he would be a surefire first ballot if his nickname was Carolina Reaper.
Yeah. That is cool. Where are we? Yes.
We need to find
Buffalo Wild Wings. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool that they tweeted us.
If they want to get on board.
The knockout sauce is also known as the Blazing Carolina Reaper sauce.
No, so, it's not.
Yeah. You're making that up.
No, I'm on the B-Dubs website. 10 Blazing Carolina.
We can't get away from this thing.
10 Blazing Carolina Reaper Wings.
We cannot get away. Ever since Marinick mentioned the Carolina Reaper, it's like it's been following us like an actual Grim Reaper. Like it's just shadowing us. Like we're gonna end up eating this thing.
Yeah, so the Blazing Challenge, like, you actually get a headband and you have to eat ice cream also. That sounds fun.
No, you have to because like the dairy will.
It's served with, served with ice cream. So that's kind of their way to save themselves.
To Samter, it's like, you know, one of those friendly ice creams with like the cone upside down like a hat. It's like, no, it's so you don't burn your taste buds off.
Wait, you have to wear a headband like
no,
Mr. Miyagi?
What's going on? It's like a reward.
Oh, that's like a sweatband. You get sweat in your eyes.
It is a sweatband, but I don't know if you have to wear it. I think they just give it to you as a prize.
Wow.
So I want out of this.
Is Buffalo? No, not out.
Somebody give me some double or nothing.
In, so we must be too.
To be honest, you're not out. You're the first one in.
Yeah, you're the only one not out.
To be honest, you're in.
Can I bet that Caleb Martin will score 30 points a game? I need it desperate.
There's no Hail Marys. Moist in the chat says Perloff's not going
to
make it.
This is what you get for being a good person and diverting your pick to Nick and allowing him to take game six.
I can't do this.
You're doing it. If Buffalo Wild Wings is now on it, then we're doing it.
So Buffalo Wild Wings has this dangerous Carolina Reaper sauce. What else do they have? I've been to Buffalo Wild Wings. I had fried pickles and a Diet Coke, and it was great. I did not know that they were putting people in the emergency room.
There's more to Buffalo Wild Wings than meets the eye, apparently.
Just don't touch your eyes after you eat the sauce.
Yeah, that's true. Or any other part of your body, as we learned.
Yeah,
any other sensitive areas might not have a lot of thick skin.
Oh, there's so many jokes. Oh, God.
Sorry, I just repurposed the shot of the day. It's not me, it's you guys.
It's not my fault that we talk about the bathroom humor.
I know.
Three times a show.
Somehow it infiltrates.
Usually when you have burning sensation down there, it's time for penicillin. But this time it's just what you ate.
It's time for the Larry O'Brien trophy. Thank you, Mike Samter, Sue Kovacs. Thank you to the Weedos, the Purple Drinkers, the chat. All right. Stay tuned. We'll have more on this tomorrow, allegedly. All right, see ya.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.